yearning to play a few rounds of Gwent. That ought to set me straight.
Welcome to Commander's Horn, episode 26. Today we are joined by Chaotic Priest to discuss community and the growth of Gwent. A large influx of new players have entered the scene. Welcome, new friends. Don't scorch yourself. Also, the Gwentleman's Invitational was held this weekend, so from casual to hardcore, there has been something for you. All this, and some good game denial, on this episode of Commander's Horn. Thanks so much for joining us today on Commander's Horn, a weekly Gwent podcast. This is episode 26, half of a year of Commander's Horn. I am one of your hosts, Dane McBeard, and on this half-year celebration, I am joined, as always, by the Brigadier General of the Butter Battalion, Josh Greyboxer, as well as the salt to our butter, our very special guest, partnered Gwent streamer, Chaotic Priest. It's great to have you both, gentlemen. Josh, how are you feeling this week?
Oh, I've been good, man. And I just want to toot the horn for our half a year Commander's Horn celebration. I've been cooking up a few changes to a monster's deck. I want to consume as many ghoulish calories as possible in a given sitting. I've been watching some of the big streamers and some of our favorite Gwent streamers. Mostly this week, just checking out, seeing what everybody's playing, seeing what the meta's looking like. One of those guys is Chaotic Priest. How's it going, bruv?
What up?
Hello.
Hi. This is weird, actually. It's kind of weird. Not streaming live instead of like being on a podcast is definitely a different experience, I will say that. But I'm glad to be here. It's fantastic to meet you guys again.
Are you enjoying your time in the studio?
In the Commander's Horn studio?
Sure. It's very fancy. It's very white, and the red blinking button is there.
I feel like over time, as we ask our guests to explain the studio from their imagination, someone will be able to paint a picture of what the studio actually looks like.
You know, I'm thinking like an old dusty basement with a bunch of magazines sitting around and like video games of every era on shelves all over the place. That's what I'm imagining.
I'll be posted up playing Xenogears in the corner on my 13-inch
color TV.
I'm blowing into my old SNES cartridges trying to get Chrono Trigger to work again. Just one more time around.
Some favorite albums on some vinyl off in the corner playing. Oh, yeah. Yep. Mm. It's a glorious basement. Good job.
All right. So
thanks, man.
Dane, tell us about our glorious basement.
Well, I'll tell you about the glorious podcast. This episode of Commander's Horn is recorded on Monday, and we'll be posting on Wednesday. Still some growing pains from the production end, but we know the latest episodes have been above and beyond, so we hope, from your point of view, the podcast is better than ever. You can find Commander's Horn on iTunes, Stitcher, and other podcasting apps. Let us know what you think about the podcast, the metagame, the new influx of players, or the game in general. Send your emails to commandershornpodcast@gmail.com or tweet at us at Commander's Horn.
Commander's Horn is supported by our commandos. Commandos! Our patrons at patreon.com/commandershorn. Thanks to everyone for helping us make the best content we can.
And may we say, Chaotic Priest, thank you for being a commando.
Commando!
You're welcome.
The game is seeing a lot of growth right now. It's not because of the marketing or the advertising. It's not because of the open beta. It's not because of a patch. It's because of a very prolific Hearthstone player declaring his love for Gwent. Let's talk about this person and his view on gaming right after this break. There have been a number of high-profile players testing out Gwent lately. We've seen Noxious, Amaz, PPD recently enough. but no player has had such an impact as Life Coach. Life Coach and Super JJ retire from Hearthstone and go public with their views in a video that they made on YouTube called No More RNG. And if you're not familiar with the video, it'll be linked in the show notes. And if you're not familiar with Life Coach, let's just say Life Coach has achieved top four in no less than 10 major or premier tournaments and has gotten first place in 6 of them. So he's a pretty good player, and he's already hit rank 15 in a matter of playing 8 days or so. The subreddit has seen fantastic growth over the last 24 hours because of what he has said and how many people he has reached, and he has been bringing a huge audience over to Gwent. We can see it on Twitch, I believe right this moment. He's streaming for about 2,000 to 3,000 people at any given time. It's a huge force. It's hard to ignore the phenomenon. Even Kotaku has written an article at Kotaku Compete, and all of these links will be in the show notes. So, Gray Boxer, what do you think about this?
This is insane. I think this is what we talked about last week with Merchant. We're talking about organic reach. We're talking about the quality of a game hitting people who have dedicated a large portion of their competitive and streaming card gaming life to playing something else, to playing Hearthstone. And now those people are leaving. They're not only leaving, they're also shunning Hearthstone, but also at the same time praising Gwent. And not only that, but they're saying this is just the first pebble of a landslide of Hearthstone shedding users who are unhappy with the RNG aspects of the game and the way it's always dominated Hearthstone. So for me, this couldn't be any better. I'm really excited to see how many more people we can bring to Gwent, especially with Life Coach making the change.
Yeah, he's a huge influencer. Chaotic Priest, are you familiar with Life Coach? Did you follow Hearthstone competitively at any time?
No, actually, if I remember correctly, I think Faramir mentioned him once or twice. I know Faramir is a mod over there, so he's known him from the Hearthstone community. But no, I'm not familiar with Hearthstone in general. Like, I've only played maybe 30 minutes tops of that game, so I don't know that community other than like a big streamer like Day9. But he's not really competitive. He's more casual. He's just a bigger streamer. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a different thing seeing Life Coach appear randomly, I guess, out of the blue for me.
A wild Life Coach appears.
Pretty much, yeah.
You got to the joke before I did.
I just randomly saw him one day, and I was like, well, who is this guy? And I thought it was just going to be one of those 1 or 2 day things where some big streamer just comes in and tries it out. Well, I haven't seen him leave, and I'm like, all right, what's kind of going on? So I kind of looked into it deeper and kind of realized all of this other newsworthy stuff that's happening around him. And it's like, oh, okay, so he's actually serious about this. So it's cool to see, but definitely unexpected. I guess it just, like I said, out of the blue.
Yeah, it really came out of nowhere. And he's already like right up, I believe he's higher ranked than I am at this moment. And it seems like he just started playing this week, because he did. And so I first heard of Life Coach Hearthstone way back in the day. Hearthstone published their list of the top 100 players from each region. They have servers for North America, servers for Europe. And one of the first times I ever saw Life Coach's name is when they published this information. Life Coach's name was mentioned at the top of both North American and European ladders, which at the time was kind of crazy to think of. So they were calling him Life Coach the God, like very early on. And I thought that, and this is before he streamed. No one really knew what he looked like. They just knew that he was there and that he was kind of being an early adopter into a game that was, you know, going to do very well. And maybe we're seeing history repeat itself. I don't know. Gray Boxer, what do you think?
It's certainly possible. And I'll tell you from our perspective here at Commander's Horn, your hosts will be preparing to send emissaries and ambassadors. And if necessary, rotting cow carcasses over to Life Coach and other recent defectors of Hearthstone. We want to get these guys on the podcast, or at least get some feedback from them and let them explain for you, our listeners, exactly why they love Gwent so much.
And we got a nice point of view from Faramir when he was on the show many episodes back. We're seeing with them, like, it's not just one person coming over when these kinds of influencers come over. It's everybody they follow, and it's everybody who respects their opinion. And it seems like you know, when you look at a guy who has been so high on the competitive level and been so involved in the scene for so long, like Life Coach, and Super JJ as well, they're both friends. They're both great players, both setting up camp in Austria now, just burning up the Gwent scene. They're showing people the game at a depth in which they previously showed Hearthstone, and that's kind of one of the reasons why people really like to watch them. They are very, very deliberate with their decisions. They like following very clear lines of play. So yeah, there's just, you know, if you want to know more about Life Coach, I'm sure you can find some, check it out. We'll put some of the information, of course, in the show notes. But it's really hard to not talk about him like this because it does feel very newsworthy that he is kind of playing the game to the extent that he's playing it.
And if I can ask our His Holiness what he thinks of the influx of players maybe that these new high profile people are bringing in.
Well, I've already seen the influx part of it. He's sent people my way even, which was actually somewhat surprising. Like I said, I don't know who he is. I jumped in his chat after the fact because I changed my streaming times to test the waters on the weekend, and it ended up working out really, really well for me. And I was getting a lot of follows, and some people were coming into chat afterwards and saying, hey, Life Coach sent me. And I'm like, who is Life Coach? So, like, that's kind of the experience that I was getting from this guy all of a sudden. He doesn't know me. I don't know him, but he's sending people my way. So, of course, I went into his channel the next day and I'm like, hey, how's it going? Of course, he had, you know, thousands of people in there in the first place. So it's kind of hard to sift through that and see my message. But I'm sure I'll reach out another way to be able to properly thank him for sure. But it's definitely been awesome.
It's like when you're in one of those channels and you want to get a message to the streamer, or even when we're watching CD Projekt Red stream, when you want to get a message through, it's like being one of those carp hopping on top of all the other carp trying to get the morsel of bread.
I'd say it's more like the mine.
Oh my God.
It's awesome to see a new guy come in here and bring an absurd amount of people all of a sudden. That's all I'm saying. Like, just an absurd amount.
And have you guys seen Reddit's front page lately? Lot of posts about I quit Hearthstone and now I'm here. Like a lot. Like I believe that yesterday it was like half the posts were on the Reddit front page. So these people are coming in from Hearthstone and they're learning from Life Coach, and they're starting to experience the content that's out there from, you know, content creators like us, like King Blacktooth and Merchant and Mega Mogwai, and I'm Delude, and I'm
Gwent City.
I don't want to leave anybody out, but of course lots of people are out there. Gwent City, of course. Is the information is out there, and hopefully the people are able to get it out there. But this brings me into our first email that I want to address. And the reason why I'm dropping an email in the middle of the news here is because we wanted to make sure that we had a little bit of extra time with the community this week, because we skipped emails last week. So we have an email here from B Hill. The email goes, "Hello, Commandos.
Commandos!
I'm just getting into the beta. I find when you discuss individual cards and card changes, I have to go through that discussion confused, because you always jump right to your opinions, occasionally excluding the card info. I'm sure I'm not alone in saying that I'd appreciate you guys not taking it for granted that your listeners have memorized the patch notes. Either way, please keep up the great show and good luck in the game." So first of all, I'd like to say hello to all new players that happen to be listening to this podcast for the first time. That could be a thing that's happening. We want you to know that it's in our best interest to cater to the wide-reaching crowd. Speak a bit more slowly. And when we began, our audience was very niche, very hardcore. I believe when I joined the Gwent Discord, there was maybe 35, 40 people to begin with. So it was really natural to know that the audience that we were talking to was like a very invested audience. So I just want you to know that you can just take this as my pledge to slow things down. When we talk about specific cards and strategies, we want to make sure that you know what we're talking about at all times. So it's absolutely great to have you. We hope you enjoy the show. For the competitive-minded fans, we recommend you go check out the Gwentleman's Talk Show as well, and live on Thursdays, as well as the Gwentleman.com site. But we'll always be trying to look at it from all points of view, casual, competitive, and fun.
Yeah, and I want to say to B Hill that you're absolutely right. And this is something that this is the type of email that we're looking for. Mm-hmm. When we say we'd love to hear your comments and feedback, when you tell us that we're missing something huge like this, this is exactly what we want to be able to change on the show. So I want to say a big thank you to him. You're exactly right. What you're saying is we should slow it down, baby. and discuss the cards more in detail before making conclusions. And I think that's something we should strive for in the future.
Yeah, it's just something to keep in mind for us. And like I said, we really appreciate that kind of stuff. So, and if anybody is new listening to the podcast, hello, great to have you.
Can His Eminence tell us about how he's done with the new, basically he's doing a free-to-play series, a beginner series, and I think this is touching on a lot of what you might encounter with that series?
It's actually a good thing. When I went to when we went to Poland, I think the thing that resonated with me, especially when they did the presentation and Rethes was talking to us, he mentioned that really out of all of us, the only really non-hardcore person that was reaching out to new players was KBT, and I really took that to heart. I felt bad, and I know that wasn't his intention to make me feel bad about it. To be perfectly honest, he was right, and it was a good wake-up call, I guess, if you will. So what I did, I went back to the drawing board and I started doing a brand new beginner's day on every Wednesday that I do. And so that's my beginner series. I created a new account. I like to do everything fresh, so I'm, you know, not getting any kegs from any certain places other than what the normal fresh player would do. And I would just play it as normal, build cards and explain everything from there on up to, you know, as if I were a new player, and explaining it to new players, if you will. So it's been awesome. It's been awesome to kind of go back to the drawing board a little bit, take a step back and realize, yeah, I've been too hardcore about this. And I think it's important to try to teach new people. We are in a closed beta. We're not even in an open beta. So it's very important that we do slow down and we do talk to people that don't know the game, because that is going to be the majority of the audience right now, new players.
So great discussion topic. Thanks so much for the email on that topic. Moving along, the Gwentleman's Invitational was this weekend.
Yes. So the Gwentleman's Invitational, I was leading in as you were like trying to get some hype going.
There's the hype horn.
Hype-oo!
All right.
There's the hype train.
Wait, can you actually hear that?
We're leaving this in for sure, yeah. All aboard All right. the hype train.
The Gwentleman's Invitational tournament happened this past weekend. And let me tell you, this was one of the coolest tournaments. This was a single deck sideboard, single elimination format tournament that was invite only from your Gwentleman.com Gwent players. And this was an incredibly tight competition. We saw some really strong variants of already pretty good decks being showcased. We saw how the sideboards were used to tech, and all this was streamed live to Twitch by your McBeard, Swim, Dale, and Ruben.
Yeah, the Gwentleman hosted it. It was a really great tournament. We got to see four fairly different decks, although three of the decks that were represented were Monsters decks with one Squietel. Gum Gum Face Punch took first place with a, speaking of trains, what we would probably call a Necker train type deck, a deck that runs Neckers and Monster Nests, which create four additional Neckers when you play it on it, as Neckers are a breedable unit. So these, essentially, the Neckers replace themselves when they die. Necker Warriors create more Neckers into your deck, so you're able to create a line of Neckers. They get buffed every time a consume effect occurs. They're all getting big in the deck, in your hand, and on the board. They're replacing themselves and allows for a lot of strength to pass through on the second and third rounds. Very, very oppressive. Things can get out of control from the very first round. Vishra took second place, and he was the winner of the past Gwentleman's Open. He played a very similar deck to what he played then, a deck that also uses Neckers but focuses more on control. And then HG3, third place, once again, just like he was third place in the last tournament.
HG third.
He played a Monsters deck as well. It was Weather Monsters, lots of muster effects, lots of cards that pull out other cards, Wild Hunt Riders, Foglets, Crones, etc. And then finally, Karastraz was playing a dwarf-based Squietel that it tends to stack the front melee row, play lots of Hawker Healers to buff, and just kind of have a strength that's really, really hard to keep up with in round one, and then ultimately kind of push and dominate round two and three with the Squietel passive allowing you to just maintain that card advantage. Anybody have any thoughts on the tournament?
No, I really want to say a huge congratulations to Gum Gum Face Punch. This dude has come up with his second tournament win in like 2 months. That's two tournaments in a row where he was basically undefeated. And then he swept the finals. And so I want to say that, you know, you and I have had our share of competitive Gwent scene tournament play, McBearded. But I want to ask the Reverend here, what's up with Chaotic Priest? When are you going to start joining these tournaments, man?
I don't know. I'm not... it's not that I'm not a bad player. I got rank 15, and then I just kind of fell off. Like, I don't have that much desire to get rank 1, or rather position 1, I suppose you could say. I have gotten top 40, I think, at best so far. And then my big thing is, like, for my salty events that go on the weekends, I play viewer decks, and I try to play them ranked, not to mention the atrocious matchmaking stuff going on right now. But I would go into ranked and I would play those decks because people want to see their decks played at a higher level to see how it would go. And my rank would not, you know, stay around that area because, of course, some of these decks are going to be bad. And that didn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. I'd rather play for the viewers rather than for myself and to get to the top. As far as tournaments go, it's kind of the same situation. A lot of the times the tournaments go where my streams are, and I make priority. My stream is always priority over any tournament. My community is going to be always be number one over other things. And I think that's important for me and my goals as far as my community and things like that. And if there comes to a time where I will have time to be able to do tournaments and things like that, I might jump in there and try. But I don't think I am that great enough player to be number one in a tournament, even though it'd be kind of fun to do so. And I think I'm waiting and probably until open beta when I think a lot of things are going to be more fleshed out, more balanced. And I think that big patch is probably coming soon. So that's kind of my waiting point.
Yeah, I can understand that, especially if you're focusing on your community and wanting to stay with your people. And these tournaments aren't always at convenient times, especially since we're dealing with players across the world all trying to meet at the same time and have a tournament. So I can understand that.
Yeah, you're talking a lot about your community, and you've been building your community over a long period of time. You've been streaming since the game went into closed beta, like all of us have been. But you've seen a lot of success. You stream for a long period of time, and you stream many, many days a week. We'd love to get to know more about you, Chaotic Priest. So tell us, what's your gaming background? What favorite games kind of from your youth? How did you get into streaming? And most importantly, how did you get into Gwent?
I could probably talk for days, so I'll try to keep it as short as possible. But the main thing is, like, when I grew up, I think my dad was big on, like, computers and things like that, so he'd always buy you know, all the consoles and stuff. So I think I got into Atari when it was back in. Yes, I'm kind of old. The Nintendo came out, Super Nintendo, yada yada, and so forth. So all the consoles kind of through the generations came up, and I always had my hands on almost all of them. And to nitpick certain games out of there, Final Fantasy was a huge one for me, and I've always loved Final Fantasy. So Dungeons and Dragons, I was big on Diablo back in the day when I was in high school, which is how I came up with my name. Oddly enough, a lot of people associate my name with religion, and it's not a religion thing, you guys. It is like a D&D thing. It's like clerics. Think clerics, and then you'll understand. But yeah, so that's kind of how I came up with the name. But yeah, as far as games go, that, you know, Final Fantasy, I grew up with all of them, and I love every single one to death because it's just something I don't know. I have a huge passion for Final Fantasy. So I'm stuck to that. As far as streaming goes, see, the thing is, when I was in high school, I played with my best friend some Magic the Gathering card games, right? The physical cards, and we played a little bit, but that was casual, and I didn't own my own deck. I just used some of his cards and played it, and that was cool. Like, it was just, a card game between friends. I haven't touched a card game since then, up until maybe a couple years here and there on Steam, where Magic the Gathering on Steam would pop up, and I'd be like, all right, look, you know, I'll try it out. I played Magic a little bit here and there, and I would buy it because it's only however much it is, and I played a little bit of it, and then I lost interest, and then I would just go and move on into other games. And generally my games are just a little bit of everything. You know, I've already mentioned, like, Final Fantasy, so JRPGs and pretty much any RPGs and first-person shooters and racing games and yada yada. I think the only ones I really don't like are sports, really. So as far as card games go, Gwent kind of came out of nowhere. I remember watching E3, as I always do, because, you know, gaming is a passion for me and communities and things like that, where I saw Gwent pop up and I'm like, all right, well, I'm all for betas and trying things out. So I immediately signed up the moment it came up, and I just so happened to get into the closed beta. At the time, I just started streaming again, trying to make an actual real effort towards it. And it was about October 25th, I think, is where I kind of really went, here's my schedule, here's what I'm sticking to. And I was playing like Battlefield 1 and Titanfall 2 and things like that, not really getting very many viewers. And then I was like, all right, oh, hey, look, Gwent beta, I'll try this out on stream and whatever. So I started doing that, and I think the third or fourth day I saw like 80 people, and I'm like, okay, so I might stick with this. And I just kept going and going and going. It just kept growing and growing and growing. Not really once did I see my channel stop growing, and it's still growing at a substantial rate. And it's so Gwent kind of put me on the map. Gwent put me where in a position where I ended up getting Twitch partner, which I literally cried when I got that email, because it was such an effort that I put towards that goal that it was such an emotional day. I was all over the place. It's a first step in a lot of people's eyes, because obviously I'm not going to be able to just go full-time streaming from Twitch partnership, but it is such a huge first step that you have to get to that point, that everything else after is still a lot of hard work, but it's just been a weight lifting experience at that, like just a weight lifted off my shoulders. I mean, and it's kind of a blessing, I would say. Gwent put me on the, I don't know. Gwent's just been amazing for me and the community.
You've been blessed by Gwent, Father. I believe it in my heart.
Pretty much. Exactly.
But truly, you've put in the work. And that's something that I noticed early on, is whenever there was, I mean, really, your time slot, you kept it every single day. You kept it every single day for months. And I don't even stream every single day. And even when I was full-time before I was working the schedule that I'm on now, I was only streaming 5 days a week and 4 hours a day. And that's exhausting. So the fact that you're able to put in that time and establish your community and establish your player base, and to have Twitch recognize that already, I think it's great, man. And I'm really, really proud of you.
Thank you. Yeah. And like I said, it's been emotional. My mods have backed me up. My mods have been extremely supportive of me, and especially my community, the people that have stuck around. And they kept saying, you know, they'd give me the right pointers and things like that, and they would say, hey, you're doing this right, you're doing that right. And every time I start to falter, they're like, hey, most streamers don't get Twitch partnership within 3 months of starting. And I'm like, yeah, you're right, you're right. But unfortunately my mentality when it comes to it is I'm always wanting improving. I'm never happy with current numbers, so it's both a gift and a curse in that respect. But I'm learning to calm down, and I know at first I started out being very salty, and I'm gonna try to make that up to people that kind of are, what's the word I'm looking for, turned down by that. And I'm trying to make it a more positive experience, so I'm trying to be a more positive person. I think McBeard is a pretty big influence on me in that respect, because McBeard in most cases is always a very positive attitude, although sometimes he gets salty, but who doesn't? And I don't blame him for that.
I had a bad week. I did have a bad week though.
we're all very hard on ourselves, and I'm usually really hard on myself, and sometimes it shows, and I want to be better for everybody, and so I'm constantly trying. And I always respect people that try to help me out in anything I do.
Chaotic Priest, appreciate your candor on talking about this with us. And, you know, it's obviously a journey that we've been watching a couple of our friends take. And I think deep down inside, we just want to connect with people and entertain them. And, you know, it's really great that we have a platform that allows us to do that. And it's really great that Gwent has been, you know, gets to be that game in our lives that allows us to be that kind of like that catalyst. So cheers to Gwent. Cheers to you. Cheers to Twitch. What do you say? What I'd like to do, actually, I wanted to talk about Chaotic Priest, and you said you've been at about as high as rank 40. Is there a deck that you've been playing that's been giving you like the most success, like a deck that you can kind of lean back on and say, okay, I feel like climbing up a little bit more? What is that deck for you?
Well, from what I heard, it's actually been faltering now. The Radovid control that came out from Ruben and Dunkoro. I used that to get to rank 15, more or less, just because I wanted rank 15, and I said, screw it, we'll just do this real quick, and then I can get back to the fun stuff that I'm normally doing, which is kind of sad to say when you put it like that. But yeah, Radovid was the one that I kind of went to for the ranking, but now I think everything shifted because of the hotfixes.
Yeah, the question. So actually, Ruben wrote in with a question as well. Again, we're going to be peppering in some community feedback as we talk. And Ruben actually wrote in about exactly that. He asks, why is Radovid dead all of a sudden? But then he later says that he shouldn't be saying the word dead. But he said that he thought that it started out being a very, very refined deck. And we even covered it on the podcast at one point as well. But he's saying, now we're seeing other factions getting more and more refined and optimal. Radovid appears to be decreasing in strength. Would you agree with this? Would you agree that you could still make a refined deck like this? Because Northern Realms is very simple to figure out. Or do you think that we've just hit some coincidences and made a refined deck that hit the cap before everybody else? So essentially, has Radovid just hit a wall and have the other factions gone past it? What do you guys think?
I think there's not enough experimental things going on when it comes to creating decks and finding the most optimal path on those decks. This is why you're going to see other decks like this pop up just randomly, or other meta decks just overwhelm the current meta, and that usually happens. It's either counters to the current meta, or it's just an entirely different build that nobody really thought of. The hotfixes that they changed Skellige was a big change, and I think that's kind of what made it to where it is right now. But I'm being told that Life Coach did something. I haven't seen his decks, but from what I understand, he's doing something completely different, and it seems to be working really well for him. I have no idea what it is. But that just goes to show that if you're willing to put a lot of effort into something that you want to play and keep refining it and keep working at it, there's a good potential that, yeah, it's not going to be like maybe a 70% win rate, but it could probably get you up in the top 100. So it just depends on how much work you're willing to put into it.
So just to kind of just dial it back a little bit, what we're talking about here are really the top decks on the ladder. When you go to the ranked mode leaderboard, you'll see the top 1,000 players. The majority of these players are playing similar decks because these decks are the best for their particular faction. The deck that we're talking about with Ruben is his Punisher Radovid deck, available on GwentDB.com. And it was essentially just control Radovid with Bork and card advantage. So I think the reason that deck is maybe struggling now is for the same reason that Northern Realms has always struggled. Northern Realms is the jack of all trades of all the factions, and they're always going to do well early on in a new patch, in a new meta, because their cards are simple and easy to understand, and they have a good solid faction ability. It starts off really strong, and it's going to beat a number of the other factions that maybe take a while to warm up. And eventually, you know, Bork's going to run out of targets, or rather, Villain Tretton Mirth is going to run out of targets, and Northern Realms loses steam to the other factions that, as you say, they specialize and they start to figure out optimal decks and optimal strategies. So that's why we're seeing Skellige doing so well now, and Nilfgaard, in addition to the hotfix changes.
Yeah, for sure. And I think monsters surging up into dominance has changed the meta a little bit. We know that Nilfgaard and Skellige can struggle against monsters. And I think that monsters matchup with Northern Realms is fairly strong as well. Skoytel, it's about 50-50 in my experience. But I think because monsters got big, it changed everything when monsters got big. So I think maybe there might be another wave coming out where it's going to be a lot of monster countering tech that may work really well against monsters, but also allow another deck to come back in. I think that's the beauty of the meta, though. If we can keep having these shifts where one deck can rise up to squash the strong decks, but that allows a different deck to use a tech that maybe hasn't been used. Like Northern Realms can play Pavetta into the Neckers, and it actually really screws up the monsters when you do that. So there's little things like that, little subtle things. And as we get more and more cards, I think there's going to be more and more options for that.
If you never heard of Pavetta, because you don't play Pavetta, because no one has played Pavetta in months, which is why she was buffed to 6 strength, Pavetta does a double epidemic on the board when you play her. She's a Northern Realms card, has 6 value. So you can resurrect her with Shani, and she's gold, so she can't kill herself. She'll just kill everything on the board that the two lowest strength units twice in a row. And she's really strong. She's one of those unexpected cards. We talked about her last week as maybe being one of the sleeper cards.
So let's talk about our least favorite decks to play against. And Chaotic Priest, you can lead this one off. What right now is your least favorite deck to play against?
play against? To be honest, probably Nilfgaard control. It's super annoying to play against control decks in general, which is why it's frustrating to play against Radovid even. Just because the removal, it screws up all the fun. And especially, it's hard to say it from my position. It's better to come from a position of like, I'm trying to get rank 15 because my thought process would change a little bit, or my my agreeing and disagreeing would change. I wanted to do a lot of decks for fun, and I'm running into a lot of these control decks, and they don't let me have fun. So it's very frustrating to go against them. But I think a lot of the different where you are in your ratings also affects your answer on this too. So it's very depending on your situation. But for me, anything that controls my deck is super frustrating, and I don't mind going against like a monster Necker. That's pretty typical. But yeah, I would say Nilfgaard control for sure is probably my least favorite to go against.
What about you, Grey Boxer?
For me, it is a combination of agreeing with Chaotic Priest, aka our abbot in the studio. I think it has to do with control preventing you from popping off all of your combos. And the most fun decks have the biggest and best combos. And if those keep getting shut down time and time again, they can be sort of exhausting to play against. So I can understand where our prior is coming from. For me, I think that the worst deck is also Nilfgaard because of the bad feeling it gives you when it wins. And that is the Kaehir Abuse Nilfgaard. And if you guys don't know, Kaehir is a 10 strength gold card for Nilfgaard only. This card has a 2 turn timer, and after the 2 turns, he resets both leader abilities. The trick is, if you play him and your opponent still has one card, they have to pass. And then the timer goes off and you get to activate your leader ability again, whether it be Morvan Vorhis, as it usually is. And for me, that just feels bad. It feels like you've already passed. You got your leader ability back. But because you've already passed because you're out of cards, you can't play it. So he's just gained card advantage on you and the ability to pull one of 3 cards from his deck and usually win. So for me, I feel like that play, when someone has one card advantage over you and they play K here, that's what I hate playing against.
I did a very passionate, strongly opinionated speech on one of my streams about K here when somebody brought it up. And my chat was actually somewhat split in that they didn't want to see a nerf, and they didn't want to see, or they did want to see a nerf, you know, the two groups. I hate this Kaehir method. I hate it. I think it's just basically like a Milva situation. Although a lot of people disagree with me because the abilities are different. It's the same type of situation, and I completely disagree with it.
The general idea that after you pass and like your opponent is able to generate a card after you're passing, like that kind of
promoting
kind of situation.
Right. So like promoting a player that already has card advantage to give him even more card advantage doesn't make any sense.
The problem is the 2 turn timer, in my opinion, and the way that the turn goes off before your turn starts if you play him. So you really only need one move advantage on the opponent. You need to have one more card than them. And if that one more card that you have is K here, you actually have 2 more cards. Because the way it works right now is it automatically will reset your opponent's leader ability after they've auto-passed from running out of cards. And it just feels bad. So here's the thing. It's your fault if you're down on card advantage, okay? That's a way to think about the game. However, it's not really your fault to be down one card. Everybody gets down one card all the time. That's not something that should be punished by a card like this. I think maybe if Kaehir had a 3 turn timer, he'd be fine. Because if you did go down 2 cards against a Nilfgaard deck, you might have earned it.
I just think that being down by... I feel like just being down by one card shouldn't, like, you know, you can have strength on the board that beats that last card. It happens. Not everybody has a bomb in their hand, but basically Kaehir allows you to play your last card and then allows you to play one of 3 remaining cards in your deck, which could be, you know, what you need to win. So in a close game, you lose every time. I think that's maybe the problem. Anyway, we could talk about Kaehir all day, I'm sure.
Yes.
And I'll keep my pick short and sweet. Currently, I think that my least favorite deck to play against is the warship discard Skellige, because I feel like if you can't really deal with the warship, you just can't compete in the round. And it's oppressive early on. It's one of the only decks that really does that. It's like, it's more so than Emir Reveal Mangonel, because you just bring the warships back. You can just keep bringing them back. So it's you need to basically lean into the warship and just hope that you can withstand the damage that comes out. Or and the warship, of course, is a 5-strength siege row unit that pings for 2 every time its controller discards a card, but also every time you lose a unit on your board. So it's like got 2 ways to activate. So it's just, and then you get 2 of them on the board, and it's just pretty much over. You just watch your board melt in front of you. Ermion discards 2, Brand's Ability discards 3, Svanrega's discarding 1. Clan Doom and Pirates discarding 2. Like, it's just a lot of cards. Almost every card in your hand could involve a discard. So it just feels like it's hard to play against. At least when I play monsters, I can rip stuff out of their graveyard sometimes, and it kind of feels okay. But
yeah, I feel like that's a funny, I feel like that's a funny choice for you, McBeard, because how much you love monster decks, and monsters are an incredibly plus matchup against discard Skellige in a lot of cases. And for me, I would think that the War Longship just necessitates removal, which kind of goes back to what we were saying about the combo deck necessitating control. And you need to be able to thunder the Longship. Otherwise, you can't stay in that round. You're right.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's not like I lose against it all the time, but it still feels bad to play against, like even in games that I win. Like, it still feels like it's like this agonizing decision of how do I navigate this first round.
Here's the kicker. It's actually bugged, too. It doesn't always attack when it should. So keep that in mind as well.
What, the War Longship?
The War Longship is actually partially bugged where it doesn't attack sometimes, correct? Yep.
So it actually, if it was working correctly, it would be pinging more?
Yes, correct. Not right. Like in the situations that are normally like where you discard and stuff, that's fine. It's when it comes when your opponent's actually killing your own units. If they kill your units like twice, it bugs where it doesn't attack the second time something happens. I don't know. It's really weird, but I've seen it happen because I play Skellige discard. It's actually one of my favorite decks to play because it's so fun.
Okay.
Well, okay. We're going to do something fun next. We have got an awesome segment special for Chaotic Priest. We have got our chaplain in the studio today to play the Gong Show.
What is the Gong Show, you may ask? G-O-N-G stands for good game or no good game. So we're going to be presenting
Clever.
We're going to be presenting a series of situations to Chaotic Priest, and he's going to tell us if he would give good game or not good game. Why is this perfect for Chaotic Priest? Because, you know, sometimes Chaotic Priest just, you know, he doesn't hit that good game button. Sometimes he doesn't do it. He has convictions about giving that good game. He sees value in that button. He feels that button needs to be earned. So we're gonna find out.
We're gonna
go through this this criteria here and find out what it is exactly that Chaotic Priest values the most in the game. So are you ready? We can go one for one, Josh.
Yeah.
So
first off, Your Holiness, our holy chaplain, you have just lost to K-Hero Abuse. Gong?
So since I have just a strong opinion, do you want me to flash fire like a GG or no GG?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah. No GG.
You just lost the K here, but it was so close. It was such a close game. 1-2
nope.
Points.
You've just lost, and nope. They played out the rest of the...
But now you're not losing the K here. You just now we're done talking about K here.
You lose.
Nope. All right. Isn't that what everybody wants to hear? I'm sorry, yeah. But isn't that it?
Okay, you won the game, but your opponent played very slowly.
No, roping I hate.
You just lost, and your opponent played slowly.
No.
You just lost against a really unique deck you've never seen before.
Yes, I will give a GG for that. I like creativity, all right? I like creativity. I like it.
You beat like the most abusive deck in the game, and you actually you just obliterated it. You're just like, ha, take that.
Yeah, I usually give a GG. Yeah,
you had the game, but your top deck lost you the game. GG or no GG?
Depends on my mood, but I'll probably give a GG. Yeah,
you had the game, but their top deck lost you the game.
That many times happened to me. GG, yeah, I'll do it.
Your opponent rage quits in round one.
No. Well, you can't GG anymore because of the current system, but no, I wouldn't do it anyway.
Oh, okay.
Your opponent goes AFK to churn some butter in round two.
Nope.
Your opponent trolls you all game, buffing your own units, removing his own units. like trolls you, but loses.
Well, I've never had that happen to me, but probably not, no.
So what if your opponent spent the entire game highlighting your cards?
Oh my god, that is a huge pet peeve of mine. Absolutely no. Unequivocally no.
Your opponent disconnects and you lose.
No.
Your opponent disconnects and you win.
No. Well, it depends. So, okay, hold on, though. Let me explain. Opponent disconnects depends on how the disconnects. Sometimes you can't give it anyway. Because of this new system, you can't give it anyway. So it's unfair to ask some of these questions. But because I can't answer them, like it would just be an automatic no. You know what I mean?
All right,
that makes sense?
Your opponent is playing your own deck and beats you with it. GG or no GG?
Plays your own deck and beats you like a mirror. Oh, that's fine. Yeah, GG is fine, I guess.
What if your opponent is your friend who ropes, plays slow, plays a deck that you can't stand, and beats you?
Yeah. Well, in a situation where you'd run into each other in the ladder and stuff like
that. Oh, yeah, for sure. If I knew them, probably I would do it.
So that's what? Like 17 for no and like 2 for yes.
I'm sorry if I actually answered some of those questions. Like I didn't know how you guys wanted me to play it. I don't know if you just wanted me to quick say GG or no GG.
No, it was great. It was perfect, man.
Okay.
It was fun bit that we did. That. It was good. It worked perfectly in my mind. It came out exactly how I expected it.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah. Because, I mean, there's people out there that just like hitting GG is just hitting GG. It's like you lost. Whatever. Okay. But no, see, you have beliefs, man. You have beliefs.
I have a no GG policy.
No GG policy, and it's not. It's when you make it funny, it's funny.
True. It's not me. It's a meme funny. Now at this point. Even I'll say it in the CDPR's thing. They'll just be like, "Oh, he said did not give a GG to David," and then they laugh about it.
His Excellency has beliefs, and they involve no GG.
Yeah.
Remove the system.
Well, that was fun. That went as I expected, and I hope you all had enjoyed that. And hopefully you all enjoy this next piece. We didn't do feedback last episode, so we decided we'd hit a few more emails and tweets this week. So join us on the other side. We're going to go into the mailbag with Chaotic Priest. So we have four questions we're going to discuss. We're going to do it. We'll give a little bit of time to each one, but we want to get through them all, of course. This one comes in from Discord's own Akron Chan. Question is, what do we want from the future of competitive gaming, and what are our expectations, such as produced events, spectator mode, tournament mode, etc.? Chaotic Priest, you're our guest. What would you like to see in the future of competitive Gwent?
So as far as competitive gaming goes, Dota 2 is something that I enjoy watching as far as esports and all the other esports communities that play games, whatever type of game it is. As far as the competitive nature of each game is not set by the company, and I think a lot of people get that mistaken. Competitive games happen because the communities make it happen, so we can't say for certain ever that Gwent will be a competitive game until it happens. The company behind it, CD Projekt Red, could say, we're going to do this, this, and this, and this for it, but that doesn't make it a competitive game. It could just fall flat after a few events that they try to do, you know? So it just depends on the community when it comes to competitive gaming. That does not mean that there can't be local competitions like you would see Gwent Invitational and things like that where it's private. But there is a big difference between private and, you know, things like ESL and like Gamescom and things like that, where you have those big tournaments with backed by maybe even millions of dollars. So as far as competitive, we have to do the wait and see approach because it's hard to say. As far as spectator mode, I think we already know that's coming. Tournament mode, I don't think so. I believe we already talked about this with the team, where they said they're not really having any plans for custom modes, which kind of disappointed me. I think that was one of the questions I asked. So, as far as competitive gaming goes, yeah, that's a wait and see approach, and it depends on the community how well it's received. But I'm liking what I see with Life Coach and with PPD, who's a big Dota 2 person. He's actually Evil Genius's CEO. So, like, if you get those types of people in a game like this and support it, then yes, it probably will go somewhere. But we have to, you know, we have to wait and see.
Yeah, I think that you make a really good point about the community being what drives a competitive scene in any given game. And really, it's important whether or not CD Projekt Red lays the groundwork in the actual game's engine to allow that to happen. But I don't know that it's going to rely on specific modes, although a tournament mode would be kind of cool. I don't know that we're going to have that right away, or if we'll have it ever. I wouldn't know how it would work. I guess you could just queue into like a bracket of eight or something and play single elimination. There's other ways it would work. With Gwent, you just commit the time to it. But I think that's a really cool question, Akrin-chan. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. What do we want in the future? I feel like we just want the game to continue to improve. And we want to see competitions continue to flourish.
I think we all are in agreement that we just want to see success for the game in any means necessary.
Yeah, I think we can all agree on that. I think spectator mode and then one step at a time. But I think that since we know spectator mode is coming, so we know that we can look forward to that. And then from there, just take a look at the landscape. Kind of in the same vein, but a little different here. Champion, Gum Gum Face Punch, also writes in. His question is also about the competitive scene, but more so how the competitive scene is displayed and how it is kind of delivered to the public. So his question is, how do we feel about the state of the tournament scene, open tournaments, tournament formats, cast and the delivery of content? Any comments on this one?
This is a question that's really near and dear, I think, to Gum Gum and the Gwentleman because of the tournament scenes that the Gwentleman are producing, and the Gwentleman's Open and the streams for that, and the Gwentleman's Invitational just happened. We just talked about that. So, you know, as far as what are we looking for these streams, is people to be entertaining, competent, and insightful. And if you have talented Gwent players with good personalities streaming, you've already laid the groundwork for really great shoutcasts. On top of that, if we get spectator mode, the games will be incredibly fun to watch, and we might even be able to get them going live. And that's the only thing right now I feel that's missing from a lot of these shoutcasts, is they're not live.
Yeah.
But even so, they're very successful and they're very interesting because it's the top level of play. But it's not live.
Yeah. As far as formats are concerned, I'm a big fan of the format that we've seen over the last 2 weeks, the single deck format with sideboard. In the case of, just then to be more clear, basically the players bring one deck that they have made, one deck, one faction, and they have eight cards that they could swap in at any time. And those cards could be leader cards, so you could change your leader as well. But you play a best of three, you lose one game, you can swap some cards around if you want, and then you go into the next game with your different, you know, techs against your opponent. And I think that actually, I said it last podcast as well, I didn't think I was going to like it as much as I did, and I do like this format very much. But I also still, you know, I have a soft spot for best of three multiple decks as well. I think that showcases a lot of skill that players need to have to really compete at a high level. I think there's always going to be options. There's something about Gwent that just makes it very open-ended with how people can kind of produce these formats and produce these tournaments. So I like it. I feel like it's in a good spot, and it's only going to get better with spectator mode.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with that. Spectator mode is going to bring a new light to the tournament scene, and I think as long as everybody continues to improve on what they're already doing, that we're not going to see anything bad, I guess, would be a way to say it. You just have to make sure that you never kind of sit in a stale position But basically, as long as everybody's improving their own content and improving delivery of the content, as Gum Gum's question asks, as long as all of that is constant improvement, you're going to get better and better content, and people are going to get better and better at what they do. So never stop that drive, and it will go in a positive direction.
Sounds good. King Pinatron, he writes in, he says, I've been dreading the incoming reset. I'm going to have to create a new deck once I start popping open fresh kegs. The question is, what kind of decks are you going to create once you have to start your collection all the way over? Assuming the meta doesn't change drastically between now and then, what kind of decks do you think will be important in the upcoming open beta? So he's talking about a post-wipe meta where lots of people are going to have a huge influx of kegs, but we're not going to have like every card. I don't know if you guys have that or in that spot yet, but basically he's talking about the feelings of losing everything and having to build from scratch. So I know that I will probably build a monsters deck personally, and we know that there could be a lot to not changing. There could be a lot of cards that come out at the exact same time as the open beta, so there might be new cards. The meta may rebuild itself before our eyes, and it'll be handled differently because everybody will have sort of a taped together new collection. It's going to be really exciting. I think the landscape's going to be like one of the most interesting ones, the open beta first meta, first competitive scene. What do you think, Chaotic Priest?
It's hard to say. It's a tough question because I am almost willing to bet there's going to be another patch with that open beta that will do all the polishes, will do a lot more changes, more or less the final changes between opening the floodgates, if you will. So it's going to be tough. Everybody's going to have an idea of their deck after this next big patch coming that's within, what, this week or next week. We'll have an idea of what the meta is going to be a couple weeks after that. But as soon as that next patch comes, it's not just going to be an open beta. I almost can guarantee there's going to be another big patch. So the meta is probably going to shift again. So people have a similar idea of what they want to do, but it's not necessarily means it's going to work.
I like this question, Kingpin. I really do. And the reason I like it is because you're bringing up an emotion that people are feeling about the incoming reset that I don't think we talk about enough. We've played Gwent now for 4 months in the closed beta, and this whole time we've been building and developing card collections, and I certainly don't have every card, as most of you don't have every card. In fact, I would challenge that almost none of you do, and that's fine, especially since we know the reset's coming. However, those of us who have developed our, you know, made a lot of choices about what to craft with limited resources, made those decisions when we popped the kegs, and that's all going to be gone. Every decision we made is going to be unmade, and then we'll start anew. While it's nice that we're getting the refresh and we're getting our kegs back that we purchased or that we earned, I think that it does go to show how much people really are fearing this, because the decks that you log in and play with every day, or that you tweak, or that, you know, you've been building or working on, they're all going to be gone because you'll be missing half the cards, even if you open all your kegs again. So I want to say that I'm with you, Kingpin, because I'm afraid that I'm not going to have the deck that I want when the open beta starts. But we covered this before, you know, we covered this earlier in our strategy section. I think any new patch hits, you're going to try for Northern Realms and see what you can do.
Yeah. And time will heal this wound. Over time, you will get more cards, just like we did when we first started. So we'll see. I mean, it's only going to be one wipe, and I'm actually kind of looking forward to looking at those three choices at the end of the card pack and say, oh, which one do I want right now? It would be like kind of a, you know, very nostalgic. One last thing we want to address. We have a tweet of the week. It comes in from, actually, two people asked the same question to us. Devil Driven and La Vegetaliana both had questions about what do we want from the future of emotes or in-game communication. I think this is a fun question. So if you could pick one thing that you could say to your opponent each turn, what would that be?
I was hoping Chaotic Priest would say that he has his Chaotic Priest emote.
Yeah, we could use any Twitch emote.
I could do a CPR lol.
Do CP lol, right? And you just slam it down in the middle of the board.
That's like a jebaited lol emote. It's so good. Oh my god, yeah. I would definitely want that, yeah. But I think it's just going to be Witcher stuff, right? Are we talking about normal emotes? Or are we talking about Witcher emotes?
Yeah, we're talking like, you know, like good game, hello, how are, like, you know, like oops, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, but we know this is probably not going to be a chat system, right? You're not going to be able to actually talk to your opponent, but you'll
emotes
be able
are
to
be bad enough.
Some sort of emotion.
Oh, it's going to be bad. Any if you get something like oops, oh my god, that's going to be bad BM at that point. Oh,
as long as you have squelch, it'll be fine.
You're going to win and then you're going to say oops, like it's just gonna be it's gonna be a riot, I think.
What if it's just symbols, maybe? What if it's just like thumbs up or
I think no know. Matter what, the community will turn it into this awful situation where it's just gonna be, what do they call it? What's the word I'm looking for?
Toxic. Toxic is the
yes,
word you're looking
yes,
for.
Yes, thank you, thank you, yes. Yeah, so these emotes may be really toxic, and I think that's going to be... I'm afraid for these emotes. I'm afraid.
Are you making an argument to not to keep it the way it is? Absolutely no communication with your opponent at all?
I think that's better for the community, to be honest, but I guess we'll see. But it can be very toxic. It can be. We got to be very careful. It's already toxic in something like Hearthstone where you can say a set of like what, three or four sayings, they already do crap with that and it's just, it's terrible.
It's true.
What would you like to see, McBeard? I think that you're on the side, on the other side of the line here. What do you think?
You know, I see the
good
in people, right? I see the good in people. So I think that, you know, if somebody's saying hello, good game, and maybe like good luck, have fun, I think would be something that I'd like to always say to before my game starts. It's like something that I do in games that allow that. I do say that.
That wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah, good luck, have fun. And maybe like you could, maybe there's only like a window of time in which you can do it, and then it cuts it off after the beginning of the first round or something. I don't know. But I think a good luck, have fun kind of gesture would be nice, and GG at the end of a GG at the end would be nice. You know, a lot of games that people type GG, these are games that have like open chats anyway. You can type whatever you want. You can type you suck, but people just, you know, GG, game's over. And and we know that Chaotic Priest wouldn't be using it very often, but I think it would be something that would be good for the game. I think that just having something, and I agree with Chaotic Priest, like sometimes it can be toxic, and you know, it's all about your own perception. You give somebody a good, you give somebody a GG at the end of the game, your opponent's like, this guy with the GG after he beats me? Who does he think he is? You know, like there's always going to be that person that just perceives it as like, you know, a stab. So
I do that on a rare occasion myself too, yeah. I get mad at somebody for giving me a GG him.
You're like, I didn't earn that.
No, it's more like you can keep it and shove it where the sun don't shine.
Oh, our high holy hierarch is
chaotic, man.
He's not happy.
Stuff your GGs in He's a sack, happy. Mister.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
All right, well, this has been a lot of fun. This has been a lot of fun hanging out with you, Chaotic Priest. First, I would like to thank our patrons at patreon.com/commandershorn, also known as
Commandos.
We would like to welcome Jesse R. to the ranks of the Commandos. And we'd like to thank everybody for listening to the show. Once again, you can find us on Twitter at Commanders Horn, or you can email us at commandershornpodcast@gmail.com. And you can be a part of the show just like Akron Chan, Gum Gum Face Punch, King Pinatron, Devil Driven, and Ruben were as well. Chaotic Priest, you are our guest. Where can people find you?
Twitter.com/chaotic priest. You can find me on all social media at chaotic priest. Pretty easy to find me everywhere. Twitch.com/chaotic priest. You can follow me on those channels if you'd like to watch sometime. I stream every day from 7 a.m. Central Standard Time for about 6 to 8 hours, depending on the day. And I do beginner streams every Wednesday, so you guys can check that out too.
And you can find me at GreyBoxerGwent on Twitter and GreyBoxer on Twitch.
And I can be found at McBeardCH on Twitter, McBearded on Twitch. I didn't change my name, even though the Twitch has allowed you to change your name. I'm still McBearded. And you can search me on YouTube at McBeard. Thanks so much for joining us today. What can I say? Thanks very much, Chaotic Priest, for joining us for the long haul. We've enjoyed very much having you.
Yeah, it's been awesome. I really appreciate you guys inviting me on. And I hope the community listens to this and kind of gets a better feel for me and doesn't think I'm too bad as far as salt goes.
A little G-G. Salt never killed anybody. GG.
A lot of salt has been the end of many people.
I will give you all GGs today, just saying.
Until next time, guys. This is Gray Boxer.
And this is Mick Beard.
Best of luck.
On the path.
I put question marks at the end of all of McBeard's sentences.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Until next time, I'm McBearded.